Typical preacher, just rambling. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians 3. Verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you: received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, that it was counted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word tonight, and I thank you that we can tell Jesus all of our trials, all of our problems. And dear God, may we do that often, but may we also praise your blessed and holy name for every good gift that you give, every mercy that we receive, dear God. Your mercies are new every morning. And Father, we can see that as we look around for them in our lives. And dear God, I ask for the filling of your Spirit tonight. Help me teaching the word and preaching. And fill my dear wife with your Spirit as she works with Lois tonight. And bless her there. And I thank you for each one here tonight. Might you give them a special blessing, God, for being in your house tonight. And might we be strengthened for the time we have remaining, dear God, that we'd be faithful servants, disciples walking close with you. That we'd be a people that has love for those around us, co-workers, friends, family, lost people, dear God, that need the gospel. Lord, make us and fashion us more into your image. God, loosen our loves from this world. Loosen the bands of this world, perhaps, that hold us yet too tightly. And dear God, increase our faith. Help us to look for our heavenly home, to look, dear God, for your return, to know that in your presence is fullness of joy. Dear God, that day that we would be with you, there will be nothing like that, regardless of what we may think. Dear God, it's going to be the greatest and grandest time. So, Father, prepare us for that. And help us to occupy until you come. We do pray in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. 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 You may be seated. All right. Looking at Galatians. We're in lesson 5. If I get the right button here, that would help. Let's see here. Lost under the law. We get that far. We haven't quite got that far. We saw last week, looking at these Galatian believers. That gonna make that. There we go. Okay. Thank you. We saw that logic. Yeah, I'm so used to seeing that view on my computer screen. It didn't even faze me that it was a different view. Yeah. Yes, we saw. They're hearing this message from the Judaizers that you've got to keep the law to be saved. And we saw point number one, that logic discredits the Judaizers. We saw that last week. We looked at the Galatians' folly in that last week. And the Galatians' folly was that Christ had been evidently set forth crucified among you. In other words, Christ was clearly taught. And by the way, in that message, Galatians, did you hear anything about the law? Was it in there? No. As a matter of fact, the law leads you to Christ. And that's all the law could do. And Paul taught that clearly. So they were foolish to forget what was taught them and begin to listen to these Judaizers, whether they were silver tongue speakers or whatever it might be. They're being fooled into believing this thing. So that their logic and discredits wasn't in the message that Paul gave. And then we also saw looking at the Holy Spirit's witness. We began B there last week and didn't finish all of that point there. But we considered the Holy Spirit's witness and the Apostle Paul, he asked there, he says, verse 2, this is what I learned of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Well, what's the answer? By the hearing of faith. He preached it, what? And he preached, they believed, Spirit came. It was just that simple. And so he's trying to jog their memory. Remember doing something drastic, like gobbling up the paper and throwing it in his lap, doing something drastic to get their attention. Neither one of them. doing something drastic to get their attention. They're doing good. They're taking notes. Amen. And I was talking about you guys doing your skit up here last week. And amen. And doing something drastic to get a hold of them. And trying to wake them up and show them that. He says, you were given the Spirit for salvation. Now are you going to be made a mature Christian by keeping some set of rules? No. The Spirit's going to change you from the inside out. And he's going to give you new desires, and he's going to begin to change you there. And then he asks the question 3 in verse 4 there. He asks, have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? So remember what you were taught. Remember how the Spirit came and ministered among you. And now, don't you remember what you suffered? Did you suffer all that because they saw suffering and likely experienced suffering for receiving the gospel of grace without the law when the church was started? There was some suffering involved in that. Have you suffered so many things in vain? Well, look at some of those things. Remember the area of Galatia there is the church at Antioch and Iconium and Lystra and Derbe in that area there. And we might look at some of those things. Look at Acts chapter 13. And there the Apostle Paul, during the trip, we're going to look at some of the things that they suffered. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain? Remember back to some of the things that you suffered. In Acts 13, 44, they come into Antioch. That's the beginning of their ministry in Galatia there. The next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together, so they come for revival. Verse 45, but when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. So now they got a Judaizing false crowd there that's full of envy in the midst of the of folks that are actually having revival. And what did they do? They spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. They witnessed all this. They witnessed that outright opposition in Galatia. And then what happened? Verse 50. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and what? Raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. So they saw those people. Remember, we'll talk about the revival part of it, but they'd come to hear them. There was a revival going on there. And now they see the very ones that God's Holy Spirit used to bring the revival, what? Being persecuted and kicked out. Paul's saying, don't you remember the things that you suffered? Was all that in vain? They moved on to Iconium and were preaching there. And God was working there as well. And then in Acts 14, 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and what? Made their minds evil affected to the brethren. They're stirring them up again. And by the way, I'm sure if they were evil affected to the brethren, speaking of the apostles and their team there, they were evil affected likely to the ones that got saved too. And then verse 5 in Acts 14, when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers to what used them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled. And now they got to flee again. Don't you remember that, Galatians? Don't you remember your sufferings? All that we went through to bring the gospel to you? And look at Acts 14, 19. Someone want to read that, Acts 14, 19, Brother Charles?
And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead.
Okay, now it's not just planning and plotting. Now they don't escape this time. They get Paul. They catch up to him in Lystra. Timothy likely may have witnessed that. He was would have been a young convert of that, would have been converted during that first missionary journey there, and their journeys through. So being stoned and all that. Don't you remember the things that you suffered? Those Judaizers, by adding the requirements of the law to the gospel, the Judaizers were able to avoid persecution. And so perhaps that was had something to do with their straying from what Paul was preaching. And so why are those who teach salvation by works unlikely to experience persecution? Anybody have thoughts on that? Or less likely? But Austin?
It appeals to us as our human nature.
Sure.
That we can be doing something to merit that.
Sure does. Every man-made religion on earth requires some kind of works for salvation. And it appeals to that flesh. Something that man can do. Absolutely right. And salvation cannot be earned. I was noticing that when Paul was talking about the Spirit, he says in Galatians 3:2, he says, "This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" It's interesting that Paul didn't ask them if they had received the Spirit. He asked them how they received the Spirit. You see, there was no question they received the Spirit. They knew they received the Spirit. The Spirit's working there was mighty. So he's not saying, "Are you sure? Are you sure the Spirit came down? Are you sure that some of you got born again?" No, they knew that happened. It wasn't, "Did you receive it?" It's "Don't you remember how you received the Spirit?" Spirit works in a mighty way. They'd seen revival in Galatia. They saw that working of the Spirit, and they should have remembered that great revival there. In Acts 13, we saw in verse 44 and 52 there, they were in Antioch and they preached their first message, and then the Bible says, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. There's revival, and the Spirit's moving. And someone read verse 52 of Acts 13. Brother Austin?
"And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit."
Filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. Yeah, they didn't have to ask him, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit?" No, there was plenty of work, plenty of evidence there to show them that. There was revival in Iconium also. Someone want to read verse 1. Acts 14:1. Brother Dennis?
"And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed."
There it is again, that great revival. And then down in verse 3 of Acts 14, someone want to read that? Sister Lindsay? "Granted signs and wonders to be done by the hand." Don't you remember that, folks? All that came how? By grace, through faith, without the law. And they needed to be shaken up and to remember those things. And they had experienced this transformation of heart, which the new birth gives. And it didn't come by the law. The law could not give that life. And also we see Paul's witness. It testifies that the Judaizers were wrong. Verse 5, Paul writes, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" So it reminds them of their beginnings when he and those that were with him came and ministered the word of God to him. When those miracles and those wonders were being done, who was doing them? God was, through his apostles. and through the ministry there. Were they doing it according to the law or by the Spirit of grace? By the Spirit of grace. By the Spirit of grace. And so they should have remembered all of those things. They received the Spirit of God when they believed the gospel and placed their faith in Jesus Christ. Miracles were done among them by faith in Christ as well, which confirmed the message of the gospel. They heard, believed, were saved. And when they believed God and his promises, they grew. And Paul didn't add any requirements of the law to his message for salvation. And they should have realized that with those Judaizers. So we'll move on to point number two, history. We saw, first of all, the logic discredits the Judaizers and their message, and then history discredits their Judaizers and their message. And he talked about Abraham. He brought Abraham up. So we're going to look at Abraham in history, of course, in biblical history. We see the Old Testament teaches the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith. It shows the law what? Brings a curse. It does. And so we'll see that. So he brings up, the Jews like to refer to Abraham, so he brings up Abraham's example of faith. In Galatians 3:6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. So it's not just being a Jew that God looks at. It's also being what? Of faith. Of the faith of Abraham. That makes you a child of Abraham as far as in God's eyes go. In John 8:33, the Jews answering back to Jesus said, "We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" I always wonder where they get it. How in the world did they get it? They were never in bondage to any man. I mean, you ever read the book of Judges? I mean, they were in bondage a whole lot. By the way, they spent 70 years in Babylon, didn't they? And the northern kingdom of Israel was taken captive to Assyria. And what do you mean we were never in bondage? They're in bondage right now to Rome. Okay, what do you mean? What did they mean we were never in bondage to any man? I think they were blinded. Matter of fact, them being in bondage to Rome was the testimony to their faith. They'd not followed God. I think about when Jesus, they said, you know, should we pay taxes or not? You know, they're trying to catch him, you know, see if if people, you know, who didn't like Rome would be against him. If he said, yeah, and people who did like Rome would be against him. If he said, no. And so what did Jesus say? Bring me a coin. Whose picture's on it? Caesar's. Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. And they couldn't take hold of his words. But that picture, that coin that they're under was proof to their face that you haven't served God because you're in bondage to another nation. And so they couldn't answer those things. Abraham's faith. They like to bring that up. So Paul shows them why Abraham was also justified by faith. Look at Genesis 12. 1 through 3. Here's where we have Abraham, and here's where God begins to speak to him. He calls him out of Ur of the Chaldees, and he's going to make of Abraham a great nation. And in Genesis 12:1, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So what did God promise Abraham? Question, I think 11 in your book there. Anybody share what you have for that? What did God promise Abraham? Sister Lindsay? All families be blessed through him. What else? Anything else? Yep. Well, Dennis?
He'd be made a great nation.
He'd be a blessing. Anything else?
I just read that he would be blessed, he would be a blessing, and the blessings would continue on because of him.
Yes, indeed. God was going to bless Abraham in a great way.
So he's blessed with his posterity there on the left. He's the
nation of Israel is going to come from him,
and we see that. And then going to be a blessing, and in him would all the nations of the earth be blessed. And so that we have the cross.
Acts 3, 25 and 26. Acts 3, 25 and 26. Someone want to read that? Brother Dennis?
Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son, Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities.
So there we have defined for us the blessing God was talking about. He sent Jesus to all the world to be a blessing, to turn us from our iniquities, and we might find salvation in him. We might be able to walk with him. So that's the blessing there. And then he promises him, thirdly, the land. He promises the land. I don't know if it was recorded in that particular passage there. Yet unto a land that I will show thee. So he's going to give them that land too. And he gives the borders and stuff of that later on in the Old Testament. All righty. So he encourages them, or he points them to Abraham in John 8, 37 through 44. John 8, 37 through 44, the Jews are have reminded Jesus that they're Abraham's seed. And the scripture says in verse 37, I know that you're Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham was our father. Jesus saith unto them, if ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Jesus isn't very politically correct sometimes, is he? He continues. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. They accused, they figured out the time between Joseph, when Joseph and Mary got married, and the time the baby was born. They accused that of being a extramarital affair is what they were saying there. We be not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God. Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. By the way, who are they wanting to murder? Jesus. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You're wanting to do to me just what your father does. He's a murderer. And so why did the Jews think they were special? It's kind of obvious there. Anybody have an answer there? Why did the Jews think they were special?
Abraham was their
physical
father.
They could trace Abraham back to their physical father. And how did Jesus answer the Jews? What basically was the answer that he gave them? Anybody share what you have for that? Yeah, yeah. Abraham's works were of faith, weren't they? And by the way, sometimes believing is referred to a deed. I think we talked about that before. Thou believest there is one God, James said. Thou doest well. That's a good thing to do, to believe there's one God. But don't stop there, because the devils do believe that. So sometimes when he's talking about the works of Abraham, he's talking about the faith of Abraham and the works that came from the faith of Abraham. He says that would exemplify your life if you were children of Abraham. You'd have that faith of Abraham, and you'd have the works that faith brings. And doesn't mean that we're perfect to the law, but in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith with works which worketh by love. We haven't got to that passage yet here, but it's coming up. So, he talks about Abraham being justified by faith. Paul is alluding to Genesis 15:6. He says in verse 6 here of Galatians 3, even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He's referring to 15:6. God has once again told Abraham, I'm going to multiply your seed as the stars of heaven and such. And Genesis 15:6, and he believed in the Lord, here it is, and he counted it to him for righteousness. But we have the same, it's the same for us. We believe in the Lord, what he's done. Abraham believed in all the revelation that he had up to that point regarding the Messiah, and God counted it to him for righteousness. We believe the gospel, which is the revelation we have now, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And what does God do? He counts it to us for righteousness. Anyone who will believe in that. Now, when God justified Abraham there, believing, that was several centuries before the law even came. So it could have nothing to do with the law of Moses. It was all based on what? On that faith. And so we see he got saved by taking God at his word, and he believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. So Abraham's belief goes to God. God what justifies Abraham. And by the way, it's the same way for us. If we'll believe in the Lord Jesus, whosoever shall call upon the Lord, name of the Lord shall be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and what? Thou shalt be saved, whoever you may be. And you can believe, and you will be saved. By the way, not only was it before the law, 400 years before the law, I think, or so, around there, but it was before Abraham was circumcised. Meaning he was yet a what? A Gentile. And so they really didn't have ground to stand on for the things that they'd come to hold. And so Abraham believed and accepted God's promise by faith alone. And all the things that the Jews were trusting for a spiritual standing before God was not holding water. And Paul's showing them that. Through the history of the scriptures, and Abraham, the very one that they cling to for assurance. But he made it clear, verse 7, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same what? Are the children of Abraham. Jesus made that distinction between the physical seed of Abraham and the spiritual seed. He said there, we saw in John 8:39, he said, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you'd do the works of Abraham. You wouldn't be calling someone who's telling you the truth a liar. And Abraham believed God. Jesus is speaking the words of God, and they're not believing him. They're not believing him. They're what? They're calling him a liar. He says, that's not Abraham. You're not related to Abraham, at least not in all the ways that God wants you to be. And so, to be a child of Abraham, one must exercise faith as Abraham did. And so, being a child of Abraham, Abraham's descendants, the Israel of God, we'll see coming up here in Galatians 6 and verse 16. Some want to try to erase Israel and say, well, the church now is the Israel of God. No, the church is not the Israel of God. What do we have? We have Israel on the one end. Those are the physical descendants of Abraham. Then we have Christians on the other hand. That's a spiritual descendants of Abraham. Some have pointed out that God said Abraham's seed would be as what? The stars of heaven. Indicating that may indicate the spiritual, the the spiritual descendants of Abraham, and it would also be as what? The dust of the earth. And some have pointed out perhaps that that's in reference to the physical descendants of Abraham. Anyway, Israel was physical descendants. Believers are the spiritual descendants, and believing Israel is the Israel of God. You see that? It's believing Israel. Just believing doesn't make you the Israel of God. Just being Israel doesn't make you the Israel of God. The believing Israelites are the Israel of God. And so we see that. Israel's not done away with. He's not done with Israel yet. Question 14 says, how would you define faith? How would you define faith? Anybody? Oh, Dennis.
Hebrews 11:1.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Yes. What about Ephesians 1:13? How does that define it? Gives it another word for faith. Uses it in the same couple verses there. Anybody? Ephesians 1:13 and 14, I think, or maybe 12 and 13, but it's you have the same sentence repeated. Believed is used in one place, and what's used in the other place?
Trusted.
Biblical faith is what? Trusting. It's casting ourselves. You know, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth you. That's called faith. We're trusting He's going to take care of it. So faith, it's trust, that trusting in God. And then question 15, and we'll wrap it up for tonight. How would you define, that was 14. What role do works play in a believer's life or salvation? Sister Lynn?
Testimony of our faith.
Yes. Works are a product of our faith. They are not a requirement for our salvation. Ephesians 2:10, 2:8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of work, lest any man should boast. And then 2:10 is what? For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God saved us to do good works. He saved us to live for Him. He saved us to serve Him. And thank God we can do it now because He's living in us. And He will help us to walk with him through that. All righty. So we're going to quit there tonight. I'm going to have to read some missionary letters Sunday night after the lesson. I have a little bit of time. I have some letters I want to read too, but I don't want to take time to do that tonight. We're right at the stopping point here tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your blessings and goodness, and I thank You that Paul was so burdened to keep the message pure. I thank You that we have these letters preserved, that how quickly the faith was attacked by the enemy, and yet how quickly and clearly You responded through Your servants and through the Holy Ghost giving the Word of God and writing it through these. And Father, then preserving it for us so that we would have all that we need in our spiritual battle today. Lord, I do thank You and I do praise You for that. Help us to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. And dear God, I thank You we still have it all right here in this blessed book. And I pray You'd help us to be faithful to Your word. Dear Lord, to love You more, to love others more. God, to be made more into Your image as we continue to gaze into Your word and see the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we do pray and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.